know that, but it don't answer the question why she should want you dead. Oh, it's madness. I will not believe it.
And then he gave me the cue I'd been waiting for.
What offence could you possibly have given her to provoke such malice?
I sat frowning, tight-lipped for a long artistic moment, took a sip at my glass, sighed, and said, "The greatest offence in the world." Napier's brows rose by the merest trifle, but Speedy goggled, bewildered.
Whatever do you mean, Sir Harry?
I hesitated, drew a deep, reluctant breath, and spoke quiet and weary, looking anywhere but at him. "If you must have it, Speedy. Yes, your protégé, Ulaba Walk, was a first-class jangada, a brave and resolute comrade, as fine a scout and guide as I ever struck. And a vain, proud, passionate, unbridled, promiscuous young savage." What I could see of his face through the furs was showing utter consternation. He was mouthing, "Promiscuous?" dumbly, so I made an impatient noise and spoke quickly. "Oh, what the devil. She made advances, I rejected them, and I dare say you've heard of the fury of a woman scorned. Aye, think of Ulaba, a barbarian, a cruel vixen, as you've said yourself, scorned." Now I looked him in the eye. "Does that answer you?" Between ourselves, I ain't sure it would have answered me, but I'm a cynical rotter. To decent folk, the sight of bluff, straight, manly old Flashy, good-hearted, remember, badgered into saying things that shouldn't be said, damn it, traducing a woman's good name, and a dead woman at that, well, it's a discomforting sight. The man's so moved and reluctant, you're bound to respect his emotions. You wouldn't dream of doubting him. Speedy was making strange noises, and Napier answered for him.
"Yeah, I'm sure it does. My dear Sir Harry."
Speedy sounded as though he'd been kicked in the essentials.
I'm at a loss. I know not what to say."
He didn't either, muttering confused.
"Ulaba, so trusted, so wild to be sure, but depraved, a traitress, and to attempt your life, wounded vanity."
He made vague gestures.
I can only beg your pardon. I did not doubt your report for the moment, I assure you."
"Bloody liar."
"But it seems so impossible. I could not take it in."
Here he ran out of words and drew himself up, beard at the high port, shaking his great head while he clasped my hand, and I meditated on the astonishing ease with which strong men of Victorian vintage could be buffaloed into incoherent embarrassment by the mere mention of feminine frailty. Something to do with public school training, I fancy. "My dear chap," I clapped his arm in comradely style. It was like patting an elephant's leg. "I'm sorry, believe me. Truly sorry." Sigh. "I can guess what you feel. Disappointment, mostly, when someone lets you down. Well, best just to have a drink and forget it. What?" The Board of Inquiry sat next day and decided that Theodore had shot himself. A reasonable conclusion, given that Blanc testified that there were powder burns in the oral cavity and the back of his head was missing. But since the report didn't mention these details, and the verdict was what Napier and Speedy wanted, I dare say that they continued to believe that mine was the hand that fired the fatal shot. They buried Theodore next day in the ramshackle thatched amber church, at the request of his sad, pretty little queen, Taru Walk. I loafed along out of interest, not respect. There were only a few on hand, the queen, the boy, Alameo, a guard of the Duke's Irish, but no saluting volley, and fat little Damash, nursing a wound and terrified he'd be hanged for resisting our attack. I reassured him, and he gave a great sniff.
"And now you leave us without a king? We were born in bondage and must die as slaves. Why do you not stay to govern?"
I told him we didn't want to, and 'twas up to him and his like to govern themselves.
"You mean we must cut each other's throats," grumbles he. "This is Africa."
I told him to mind his manners and not interrupt the ancient dodder of a priest who was gabbling the service. The corpse had been nicely wrapped by Samuel, I believe. They shovelled it into the shallow grave, and that was the end of the heir to Solomon and Sheba and Prester John.